Hello and welcome to another episode of CTRM Radio, an ad hoc podcast from Commodity Technology Advisory, hosted on ctrmcenter.com and ettcenter.net. And in this episode, we'll be announcing some really exciting news from Commodity Technology Advisory. We're adding a practice area called Energy Transition Technologies, and it will be led by affiliate analyst Irina Reitgruber. And so today we will be talking to Irina and also to Ben Hillary, who is the CEO of Commodities People and is well positioned to spot trends as it relates to something like the energy transition. So let's get started by jumping right into the discussion. Good morning, Ben. Thank you for joining us. We'd just like to ask you a few questions about VPPs, et cetera. And we'd like to start with asking you how trading communities' interests in the transition evolved over the last decade and how you think it's accelerated.
Yeah, there's been major changes. I'd say there's no signs whatsoever of it slowing down. Wide range of factors have been driving this. Some of the most important, obviously, being the government policies, regulations around renewable energy targets, the subsidies for the green energy projects and carbon pricing, stakeholder pressure on companies to act in more sustainable ways from their customers, shareholders, employees. We've got the financing carrots and sticks saw recently. Very interesting new coal project was financed by a consortium with just one traditional banking group. Become very difficult to finance coal projects while renewable and storage projects attract great interest and participation. So yeah, these factors have all really helped significantly increase and accelerate the growth of renewables. But yeah, I think the real rocket fuel has been the speed of technological advancement, including the sort of physical, the renewable energy production technology, the smart grid technologies, flex markets, and the innovations in energy storage. All of these factors have really led to renewables becoming of far greater interest to the trading community and to their widespread inclusion in energy portfolios, and to also a range of new participants entering and swiftly becoming quite significant players in the energy markets. We're doing a bit of look into the compound annual growth rates for some of the aforementioned markets, and it tells a very, very interesting story. You can never totally rely on the numbers you find online, but I came across overall energy trading market 6.56%, carbon credit market 14.8%, and global energy storage 23%, which is pretty exceptional. So, conclusion, I would say the future looks pretty bright indeed for the energy transition and the trading community's involvement in it.
Great, that's some interesting information. And in terms of yourself and Commodities People, what are you seeing as the key interest areas from the industry related to the energy transition?
Huge range of areas of interest. Our challenge is always, there's enough topics out there to fill many weeks or many months of conference agendas, and we have to sort of whittle it down into a few days of the year. Some of the most prominent we see, obviously the impact of renewables and storage on the markets themselves. The whole game has just changed so dramatically, when you think about how simple it relatively was a few decades ago. Now the depth and complications brought to the market, with the supply fluctuations, different pricing mechanisms, the enormous impact of weather conditions, just to name a few. Though at times it's been a pretty rough ride, and definitely it's had its ups and its downs in the last few years, we do see a steady ongoing interest in carbon markets. We've seen, particularly I remember in late 21 and 22, it really felt like a bit of a gold rush with every trader looking to get involved. Key areas of interest on those are really around how the markets are operating, transparency, pricing, regulations, differences between the different regional markets. renewable energy certificates, RECs, that's another area growing in interest. We've been seeing this in all the locations we work in, particularly at times where confidence might have been a little lower in the carbon markets. Other areas, market design, regulations, how they're impacted by the changing energy mix, how to adapt risk management strategies and frameworks, the plethora of new technologies and enhancements of existing technologies. As I say, it's a really, 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 really big subject.
Talking of technologies, what do you see as emerging solution areas, and are they attracting, and which ones are attracting the most interest in your view?
Yeah, well, these emerging solution types and new technologies, they feed into really every single corner of the energy transition conversation. On the one hand, we've got the more physical technologies, I suppose, the advancements in energy storage solutions, in battery design, the distributed energy resources, microgrids, demand response EVs, and so on. But on the other hand, as I mentioned earlier, the whole trading game has just changed really, really dramatically. The data which needs to be managed and analysed in the blink of an eye has just increased exponentially. It's impossible for a simple human on their own to handle, even the greatest trader in the world, and this has led to a range of interesting solutions. You might have groups like, say, Enspired, offering end-to-end AI and automated based trade optimization solutions. On the other hand, say someone like Sequant, offering advanced analytics solutions to support trading functions in these more complex markets. Then, of course, you have, I think, almost the vast majority of the traditional E and CTRM providers developing their own solutions to support their markets, either as standalone solutions or to work alongside their existing products. What else? I mean, we've got the trading platforms and the marketplaces. They're attracting a good deal of interest. They're helping to bring that extra level of transparency and liquidity to some of these markets. Some of these are then powered in some way through blockchain or other disruptive technologies, which only adds to the excitement. So yeah, really a lot of activity on the transition technology side. And I'm looking at the continued appetite for investments into that space. I think it will remain that way for many, many, many more years to come.
Very good. Thank you. And let's move along to Irina and ask her a few questions as well. So Irina, what kind of solutions do you see as supporting transition technologies?
Yeah. First of all, I want to agree with Ben saying that there is a kind of technological revolution what we observe now. And for that reason, we have the whole ecosystem of solutions which will support energy transition technologies. I mean, I would start with data platform, which can accumulate enormous amount of data. That is smart meter data. This is weather data, satellite data, price data. And all this data needs to be managed, to be clean, to be clear, aggregated, visualized. Then only AI applications are capable to work with the data. And there are multiple applications what we observe, starting from forecasting, going to pattern recognition, recognition of certain consumer behavior and consumption data, and so on and so forth. So this is one set of solutions. Then we go to the solutions related to production. So besides the forecasting, there is a lot of distributed production assets which needs to be aggregated, needs to be managed. You have microgrids, which include batteries, prosumers, which are households with their EVs and rooftop solar panels. So all that can be aggregated, needs to be managed, needs to be monitored. And then if you go further, you can put the flexibilities of such microgrids into one so-called virtual power plant, which is a very broad notion, actually. It can include kind of production assets, renewable production, but also not renewable. It can include batteries. It can include flexible consumption. All that can be put into the market. So you can have new market participants working on that. So you have industrial batteries going on the market directly, as you mentioned, Inspired, for example. with a very good automated solution for that. But you have also other types of virtual power plants which are participating in ancillary service market and balancing market. So all the regulation around that is depending, of course, on the local rules and regulations and possibilities of access to different markets. But in any case, you have the need to aggregate that, you need to monitor this, you need to make a settlement at the end, because when you trade something, you will get the results back and you need to distribute and to settle all the financial transactions between those participants. So that is a very big set of solutions which we observe on that market. And that's why I'm talking about ecosystem rather than single solutions. They all somehow connected and related to each other.
Thank you, Irina. But what actually is a VPP? How is it defined and how does it work?
Actually, VPP is a very broad concept, which has the following definition from my point of view. So you have different assets. It can be consumption, it can be production. And you try to aggregate and control these assets from one place. So the essential difference between VPP and like a microgrid or certain production sites is that they are all centrally controlled. And that central control allows you to bring the energy either to utility and add some more flexibility to the utility, or you go directly to the market if you have flexibility market available, or you go to DSO or TSO and you provide certain possibilities to manage the grid with help of that flexibility. So there are PPAs, which are possible between aggregator and utility. So there are different kinds of relationship between both that depends on the market regulation. But generally speaking, there are three types of PPP: production oriented, where you just accumulate production capacity of multiple renewable sites, for example. There are consumption oriented, which goes on the consumption flexibility. It can be household flexibility or industrial flexibility, but it's mainly flexible consumptions, which is called also demand response, or most complex case where you have mixed assets and aggregate all together. And that basically the most complex VPP you can imagine.
Right. And what is the impact of VPPs on the trading and distribution side of the industry?
I think, first of all, the more developed VPP are, the more market participants you get. And those market participants will mainly go into continuous intraday market or into ancillary service market or in balancing market. So it's very short-term market. And that market will be much more flexible and have much more participants. You will go more and more near real time in that market. You will have more and more spread across different areas, geographical areas, more market participants. I think that some markets are very advanced with this respect, especially in the UK, where they are allowing from 2024 the participation of consumers, which are called VLP, virtual lead party, in wholesale market. And I think this is the first in the European continent.
Very good. Thank you, Irina. Obviously, one of the things about the energy transition is there is some regionality to it. And Ben, you these days have conferences all over the world. So what kind of regional differences are you seeing in the energy transition?
Yeah, thanks, Gary. It's really significant variation between regions, obviously reflecting differences in resources and policies and in the economic conditions and in the different levels of technological development. Europe has led the pack for a very long time and I think continues to do so. They've got a long legacy of significant investments in renewables, long-standing policies, and policies like the Green Deal have led to a really strong and established market for carbon, for RECs. And as a result, more than anywhere else in the world, we see a really deep participation from the energy trading community in the transition. North America, however, very, very much on the advance, though still quite regionally fragmented. California has that reputation of traditionally being the leader in such markets, but actually very, very happy to say that Texas is really on the up right now, particularly when you look into areas like the storage side of things. Developers there are on track, I think, in 2024 to complete 6.4 gigs of new grid battery capacity just in Texas in 2024 alone. So really interesting stuff happening there. APAC, really, really, really diverse, as you could expect. China and India are, you know, doing some quite interesting things in renewables, but equally remaining very heavily reliant on coal. The likes of Japan, South Korea, Singapore to an extent, investing heavily in those sort of technology-driven solutions, I mean, battery storage, hydrogen fuel, and so on. So yeah, there's definitely a very, very growing interest for APAC-based energy and commodity traders in how to sort of manage the transition from traditional to renewable energy sources. And yeah, they've got a keen eye on the different technologies at play there. And then, yeah, finally, I suppose, you know, the Middle East, particularly the Gulf states, definitely seeing some pretty interesting developments coming out of there, particularly in solar, hydrogen. I've got an eye on, it's quite a strong team of energy trading professionals have been building up at in NEOM and ENEWA in Saudi Arabia. So I'm watching that space with quite some interest. So, yeah.
A supplemental question is the term energy transition, in your view, a global term? Because I've actually had a couple of instances in the last few months where I've spoken to Americans that didn't recognize the term.
It seems to be recognized. Yeah, it seems to be recognized enough. It can have, you know, in certain parts of society, in certain states in the US, it can have like less positive connotations, let's say, than in others, but yeah, on the most part, it's quite recognized. But yeah, there is probably, yeah, in the US in particular, it's still probably a bit more polarized than, say, you know, Europe in particular, where the view is very much you know, one way.
Yeah, sometimes you just have to be a bit careful, because you assume that a term is widely recognized, and then, you know, you discover that in fact other people are calling it something slightly different. And so you need to develop a common term. So I just was interested in whether that was a common term in your view. And finally, how do you see the future of clean energy transfer in the light of recent geopolitical risks?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting times. I do think that the some of the chaos of the last few years has really shone a light on the critical importance for countries to become more self-sustaining and less reliant on imports. So for some, much of Europe included, this will need to include a major ramping up of their renewable capabilities, and equally the storage and grid technologies and resilience to support that and to make it a reality. I think we will also surely see rising importance in energy diplomacy as LNG continues its onwards march. And yeah, in the short term, I remember you know, flying over the industrial heartland of Germany a couple of years ago, and seeing all the coal stations back to life. So, you know, geopolitics causing shocks to the energy supply might trigger short-term reactivation of coal and non-environmentally friendly forms of production to ensure the security of supply, but in the mid to long term, I believe that everything that's happening now will accelerate rather than hinder the transition.
Super, Ben. Irina, thank you. Irina, is there anything you'd like to add at all?
Well, I agree that the geopolitical uncertainty may slow down the transition, but will never stop it. It's a worldwide movement and it needs to continue. But of course, it needs to continue in some bit, which allows also household people used to adjust to that. It should not, overall somehow bring people into the situation when they need to oppose the transition, which is actually the right thing to do. So that should be done with some meaningful speed. On the other hand, we should really be careful concerning the interdependencies, because also the green energy, renewable solar panels also bring other kind of interdependency and other kind of geopolitical risks. So that's all. But it needs some balanced views, I would say. So all exaggeration in any direction is risky.
My thanks to Ben and Irina for their contributions to this podcast. Commodity Technology Advisory has a new practice area focused on energy transition technologies that's recently been created to provide expert advisory to suppliers and buyers of software and consulting services in that space. So, Irina, we're creating a new practice area at Commodity Technology Advisory, headed by yourself, around energy transition technologies. Why have we focused in on that area?
As we discussed today, this process of the transition to clean energy is really revolutionary. It's not just adding renewables to the production mix. It needs much more. When you have a large share of renewables in the production mix, you have issues with instability, with greed. So what you need is you need to address demand response, you need energy storage, you need to invest in a better technology to make it cheaper and better. And all that requires much more than just putting new technology to produce power. And that's why it's an energy transition technology. So it's a transition of the whole industry to more clean production, which will take time. And at the end, when we want really to have no fossil fuels involved anymore, it means completely different type of energy systems and different solutions supporting that. That's why it is a different energy transition technology.
The new practice is led by Irina Reitgruber, Comtech affiliate analyst, and she will post its insights, expert opinion, and research at the new ETT Center, to be found at www.ettcenter.net. a sister site to the CTRM Centre. Please bookmark the site and visit it often for everything ETT. The Comtech Energy Transition Technologies practice is already operational, working on a webinar on VPPs hosted in collaboration with Naravitio, scheduled for April 17th, 2024, and titled VPPs Separating Facts from Fiction. The webinar is free and currently open for registration. Please find the link in the notes below this podcast. The practice is also kicking off its initial research project, which will result in our first research report in the area in the near future. Now, if you have interest in learning about energy transition technologies, then do reach out to Commodity Technology Advisor and Irina specifically. Email is provided in the notes below. This has been an episode of CTRM Radio, an ad hoc podcast series from Commodity Technology Advisory, hosted on CTRM Center. We do thank our guests once again, Ben Hillary, CEO of Commodities People, and Irina Reitgruber of Commodity Technology Advisory. We also thank you for watching, and we hope that you found this useful and that you will subscribe to the channel, like, and share. Thank you very much.